Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I don't. Number one, I'm not running for president. I'm going to be mayor for the next 920 days. I think the speculation is, all kidding aside, yes, you like to see your name in the paper. If you didn't, and if people say he'd make a great president and you didn't get a smile on your face, you ought to go see a shrink. But I think what you're seeing is a reflection of people's dissatisfaction with the gridlock and the way this country is going. They don't want to focus on flag burning and Terry Schiavo and things like that. They want solutions to immigration and crime. And
Mayor Bloomberg, at the end of a joint interview conducted by Greg David, Crane's New York business editor, and myself, at a Crane's breakfast at the Sheraton this morning. We'll open up the phones now for your reactions to anything the mayor said. Some pretty interesting political stuff at the end there, that the political parties don't stand for anything. Neither of them. Only individuals do. He obviously doesn't think that leaving the Republican Party is going to impair his ability to run the city, nor all the speculation about his running for president. We talked about congestion pricing earlier, immigration earlier, education earlier. Your reactions to any of it, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll get some thoughts from Daily News columnist Era Lewis, too. Stay tuned.
WNYC is supported by JAMA Custom Builders, a residential construction company specializing in country estates and Manhattan townhouses, serving the greater New York metro area for over 30 years. Offices in Manhattan, Ryan, Greenwich. More at xhema.com. Thumans, since 1949, offering deli-style cold cuts and cheeses for sandwiches, platters, and picnic-style meals. All products are low in fat, salt, and without MSG, and 10 are certified heart healthy by the American Heart Association. Thumans.com.
There's already been a lot of speculation about how Rupert Murdoch might change the Wall Street Journal. I'm Leonard Lopate. On my next program, Ken Auletta tells us about Murdoch's maneuvers and conflicting reactions among writers, editors, and owners of the paper. Plus, the Shakespeare in the Park production of Romeo and Juliet. The Leonard Lopate Show, weekdays at noon on 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We just heard that interview from the Sheraton earlier this morning with Crane's New York business editor Greg David and myself interviewing Mayor Bloomberg. Anyone who was there, there were 700 people at that breakfast, want to call in? 212-433-WNYC. I had mentioned earlier that Greg would come by and debrief it with me. Unfortunately, he got called to something really important. So not that this isn't, but he cannot do that. Instead, and he was going to be here in addition anyway, is Daily News columnist Era Lewis, who was good enough to fill in as host here for the first hour this morning while I was there. So, Era, a number of things from this struck me. We'll talk about them probably over a period of days now. But what jumped out at you?
One thing that really struck me kind of forcefully is that he gave the kind of rapid-fire, very knowledgeable presentation with some of the sarcasm and so forth that you don't normally hear from him when he's in campaign mode. He sounded very relaxed. I guess, you know, in a room of businessmen, he'll be more comfortable than maybe anywhere else.
And women.
And women. And he sounded to me like he's not going to run for president. And that was the first time that popped in my head. I mean, it was a very
Why?
Local,
what about what he said? Say?
Very local presentation. Didn't go to... He touched on global warming, but he didn't really sort of go in that direction. He touched on gun control. These are his national issues he's been pushing lately. They are very important to the city, but they also have a national resonance that he didn't really exploit. So he didn't sound like somebody who was working from national, political, or presidential talking points at all. The other thing was that he talked almost in a valedictory tone about how his administration will be remembered. He talked about, you know, Robert Caro, the famous biographer of Robert Moses and who wrote The Power Broker, saying that Caro or somebody will write about Dan Doctoroff and all the great things he's done for the
deputy mayor for economic development.
And you know, that too doesn't sound like something you'd say if you're going to try and convince farmers in Iowa to vote for you or
yeah. Well, this wasn't a farmers in Iowa audience, and I don't know. I mean, he did make that that point to diss both parties and say neither political party stands for anything, only individuals do. I thought that was really interesting. And, I mean, what's the rationale for him leaving the Republican Party if he's not going to run for president?
Well, you know, I think all along it's been this. There's a scenario in which he can become president of the United States. That's true yesterday. It's true today. As each piece of that scenario happens or doesn't happen, you can sort of evaluate his chances. It sounded to me that he's more leaning in the direction of the scenario is not going to come together. That scenario is, you know, something along the lines of two very polarizing candidates, maybe Rudy Giuliani and Hillary Clinton, represent the respective parties, and the country suggests or indicates that it wants a third choice.
All right. Replaying the interview took most of the hour. We have about 5 minutes for calls. Let's go through some folks' comments real quick. Jay in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed the interview when he did let you ask questions. I just wanted to say I would like the mayor to come ride with me on the L train or the 456 or with anybody on the ACE in the mornings during rush hour. The congestion pricing is a great idea, I think, but it's really just going to be a tax on our time, as now I have to leave earlier or later in the day to get to and from work without being packed in the car like a...
Jay, thanks for your call. Errol, it was amazing to me that he said he rides the Lex almost every day, and it's not that crowded.
Well, you know, he gets to work early, first of all. I think his first meeting in the morning is around 7 o'clock. Secondly, he has, you know, men with guns around him, so that's got to make your ride a little bit more pleasant. It's not like people are going to, you know, drool on you the way the rest of us have to put up with. But, you know, when they talk about these crowded lines, and the Lexington Avenue line is one of them, the planners say, it can't take another passenger, it can't take another car. That's real serious stuff.
Eve in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eve.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, real quick.
I have a major problem with everything he says, especially in congestion, regarding congestion pricing. He talks about New York City. He's talking about Manhattan. He's not talking about, and all the boroughs are one stop away or one bridge away from Manhattan.
Well, you know what he says. Tell me if this sways you toward his position at all. You know, one of the things that jumped out at me this morning was how explicitly he's willing to say that congestion pricing is somewhat about revenue. But revenue for what? He says the federal government isn't going to come up with more money to expand mass transit. The state government isn't going to come up with much more money to expand mass transit. This is a way that we can expand mass transit for the outer boroughs, for New Jersey even, and for ultimately the environment. Are you swayed by that at all?
Absolutely not.
Because?
Because I have worked for electricians and contractors who need, and my daughter's a tile setter, and she restores fireplaces and all kinds of things. These people don't live in Manhattan. First, they need a shop with all these cables and all these tiles and all this detail work that service the very expensive apartments, probably including his. They're independent contractors. They have to work between certain hours.
Eve, I get your point, and I'm going to move on to get another couple of voices in here. Isham on Staten Island, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you very much for this interview. It's very important. I want to talk about that he dodged the question about what is he really going to do about the traffic. I'm sorry, about the number of people into the subway and the transit in general before he applies his plan. He didn't really say what is he planning to do.
Right. Well, Errol, what about that? He didn't say exactly how he's going to expand the mass transit.
No, it's true. I mean, they've got to come up with some answers. I accept congestion pricing. I think the logic of it is unassailable. The problem is, and we saw this when they went to a MetroCard system for buses with the free transfers or a much lower price for the transfers, that they got overwhelmed. People like me, in fact, rode the bus for the first time in probably 15 years once there was a MetroCard there. So, you know, small changes in the system can create huge differences in how people get to work. Ultimately, the congestion pricing is the ultimate expression of that. So, you know, they've got to have a better answer than, you know, don't worry if people lean on you when it comes to this question of what do you do when there's all of a sudden thousands more riders on the subway system.
Steve in Manhattan, 20 seconds. Hi, Steve. Oops, let me try it again.
So there's a tack on?
Steve, hello? I'm sorry. Now we got you.
Okay, I'll go quickly. First of all, I said there's a tack on both parties. He's setting himself up for third party. candidacy for president. I'll weigh in on this congestion pricing, too. When he, I thought you missed something there. Mm-hmm. When he said that New Jersey won't be affected, I thought he was contradicting everything else that he was saying on the great benefit this will have for traffic in Manhattan.
That's a good point. If it's going to push people, well, he did say he wishes it would overwhelm New Jersey transit and that it would push that much, that many people into the trains and the buses. Here's something from our comments page at WNYC.org. Somebody wrote, forget president. Bloomberg should change term limits so he can stay mayor. So somebody at least likes him where he is. Errol, 10 seconds. One other thing from the interview, immigration. He urged our congressional delegation to vote yes.
Yep, a very New York position, as you could predict. Again, something that would not sell nationally, telling you he's going to stay mayor for a while.
Even though a lot of immigrants are saying it's too harsh on their families and a lot of businesses are saying it's going to create a labor shortage here, he says, on balance, vote yes for New York. Errol Lewis, Daily News columnist, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, we will follow up on the mayor's remarks on education that came at the beginning of that interview. We will have the New York City Schools Chancellor, Joel Klein, here, and also the New York City Council Speaker, Christine Quinn. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.